Welcome back to the Inspired Incompetence Podcast. We are out of ideas. How's everybody doing?
Yes, yes, yes.
We've tried nothing and we're out of ideas.
We went backwards. All right, so here we are in Cairodera Forest. Pretty new forest in terms of as far as forests go. This one is a little less than 2 weeks old, but it's already... it's pretty big. It's filled with lots of really big trees, filled with lots of fey. You guys are heading to Hammer Rock, and you guys just avoided a whole combat with your probably illegal will saves.
Yeah, okay. Illegal or not, we still passed. FTP, baby.
FTP!
I don't know what that means, but we did it.
Fuck the police.
Oh, that, oh. Yeah.
File transfer protocol.
I'm looking at the map of Lastwall here, and I see I don't know if I had taken note of it before or not, but I see a thing noted as the Garden of Lead.
Dude, and I was literally just going to mention this. Like, tell me that's the Garden of Lead. Is that the Garden of Lead?
Like, the Garden of Lead, like that seriously, that sounds like something out of a John Wick movie.
Go lick one of those yeah. flowers, Joe.
Welcome to the Garden of Lead. yeah, Garden of Lead. It's a Whispering Way thing.
Oh, I wouldn't understand.
When the Whispering Tyrant took control of the country of Ustalav, he sent his minion Desayan to the Garden of Lead. With a collection of nobles she had collected. Her skeleton drove its captors into the garden and then filled the pools, canals, and walkways with molten lead, killing the noblemen and women instantly. The Garden of Lead is now a horrifically haunted place, even by the standards of Verlich. Oh. And lead statues of costumed nobles still remain to this day. Yeah, pretty fucked up place.
How fun.
Yeah, I don't know why it's on the map. It's not really...
Not relevant to the campaign.
Yeah, never mind that over there. All right, so you guys bypassed this pond that was just kind of like tucked in to the woods. Like there's not really like a beach or a clearing between the shoreline and the trees. It's just kind of like the pond ends where, like, the trees just start.
Okay.
You heard this haunting melody that seemed to have a subliminal message hidden beneath the song. But you fought through it, and you just kind of all took various forms of flight, and you went up and around the pond. So, now that everybody's flying, I guess my next question is... Do you, like, fly up above the tree line, or are you staying in the forest?
Ooh, big question. Personally, I don't think I would be out above the tree line. That seems too high and dangerous for me.
I believe Thalias is also holding on to my broom for dear life.
That's true, so he doesn't even have a say in it.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. I am broom holding. Anything to save a spell slot, am I right, Tom?
I don't have it. Why are you looking at me?
That's
I don't
true. Tom doesn't have fly.
Yeah, I'm using my boots. No.
What was that
you
one time?
You can grab onto my leg if you want to.
It's weird, though, that Tom didn't give you one of his boots. It's a little greedy, in my opinion.
No, the spell slot thing, wasn't it that I had to teleport because Tom didn't want to teleport?
He's like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Use a spell slot twice. Use all yours. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
And he has more 7th level spell slots than you do 4th.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's where I was going with that.
I thought I was okay with that, but I thought we decided that I thought the witch gates would mess with us.
We're talking... This was back in Yoli's pen.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, then probably.
Everybody's like, time to go to Timbaha Mountain. You're like, oh, man, I just got greater teleport, but I don't want to use it. So Joe burned 2 teleport spells, failed 2 times out of 2. And you were like, fine. And not only did you have more spell slots for 7th level than he had for 4th level, but yours was automatic guaranteed success.
And I thought Joe took over. All right, I might be misremembering this one, but I swear Joe is like, no, I got this. Like, I just brought up the point that, like, this is a bigger spell.
Either way, I didn't consider it a big deal. Joe's making it into a big deal, and I'm just kind of stoking the flames.
No, it's not a big deal. But if you're wondering why I did that, I specifically thought of that instance. I was like,
for anyone wondering why Joe's being a little bitch about spell slots, that's, that's why.
Yeah.
So still waiting for an answer.
I think staying below the tree line is probably safer because we don't know what might be patrolling the skies, or even, you know, don't want to necessarily announce our presence. We're kind of supposed to be looking for something, so we don't want to give someone a chance to hide it or hunt us down before we find it.
So here's my current concern with this is we kind of navigated through without going into a battle with whatever's underneath the water at this point. Are we going to be in a radius of effect of like something else in there, or something that maybe is following us underwater?
Well, we're leaving the pond behind.
You've bypassed the pond. that's not a factor.
Oh, right, then what do we...
I'm just talking about, like, I mean, you're all a flight.
Oh, now. Okay. I do thought you this want was to over the pond.
Take that and run with it, so to speak, or fly with it? Or are you going to continue traveling, like, within the tree line?
Yeah, I'd be down in the tree line.
Yeah. I think within the tree line, too. Mainly because I know Tom only has, like, 5 minutes of flight at a time from his boots. So, like, that's not necessarily a lot of time to be searching above the treetops.
Okay. So then, with that in mind, I want survival checks from everybody.
Our specialty.
And just a reminder that the vegetation in Kyrodera Forest is not... It's not, like, grabbing you or, like uprooting and moving in front of you and, like, blocking your path. But you are noticing that, like, anytime you, like, brush up against a branch or there's, like, underbrush that you have to travel through, it does seem to kind of, like, grab you and give, like, a half-hearted effort to kind of be like, no, stop, come back. But you're not being actually hampered in your movement, but you are noticing a sort of consciousness to the trees in this forest. And they seem to... You're not sure if it's out of, like, any sort of malice or if it's some other motivation. You're really not sure what's driving the plants to do this. It's probably not a stretch to imagine it's some sort of radiant fire fuckery. But in terms of what's actually going on with the plants, you're really not sure. But I just want to make sure everybody keeps that in mind. I mean, it's no Gallo Garden, that's for sure. But
yeah, well.
Anyway, let's hear those survival checks.
10. Wait, that was my dice roll. It's got to be more than that.
Well, remember, you're at like a... You're like a minus one on everything from the hair reading and also a plus one from the hair thing. So I think you're at a minus two and then a plus one. So you're at like a net minus one.
Oh, okay. So it's minus then. Perfect. 11.
All right. Anybody else?
16 for Valbar.
19 for Utre.
18 for Arginus.
And Joe, because I wrote this down in Discord. Right now you have a minus two to reflex saves, a minus two to all skill checks, and a minus one to all other d20 rolls.
Yeah, that hero reading sucked.
Yeah. And right now you have three bonuses that you still need to use. You have a single use, plus one to reflex, plus one to will, and plus one to a skill check. And once you use those three, the penalties will go away.
Well, let's do a plus one to this skill check right now for survival.
All right. So that's a 12. All right. So with those skill checks, so especially with Uhtred and Arginus's checks, it's a little slow going, especially with the vegetation doing its thing, but you're able to travel through it without getting lost or turned around, being able to keep your heading. You know the general direction Hammerock is from you, and you can keep that consistent.
Okay.
It's been about 20 minutes since you passed that pond, and you are brought to, I would not call it a clearing. So you come to this stretch of woods. It's not, certainly not a clearing, but the trees kind of open up a bit, and the open space where there would be trees are instead all of these snarls of vegetation. Thousands of vines, strangler figs, and creepers all just kind of wrapped around each other in this empty space, draped down from the canopy, and it almost creates this like spider web of vegetation through which you can move through without any problem. But it is certainly a beautiful looking stretch of vegetation, even if a little foreboding.
Is it on the ground, like coming out of the ground and high? Can we fly over this? I don't want to go through this.
I mean, it looks like it stretches from the, like, you kind of like, you come to, for all intents and purposes, we'll call it a clearing. You come out to the clearing and like, you look left, you look right, you look up, and it's this like, you can't see like through the vegetation, but it gives you better visibility than like just all the, where all the trees were. So you're really not sure how deep it goes.
Okay.
But, like, it just seems to be this, like, big stretch of vegetation that, like, you could try to go around it, but you're really not sure how big it is. You could try to go over it, but it looks like it stretches all the way up to the canopy. But, yeah. Just big ol' vine web.
Well, isn't this quaint? What now?
Do we go around? Over or through?
I'm not the biggest fan of through.
You guys can give me perception checks.
What are the rolls I still have to get rid of? I gotta make sure I get rid of them as quick as I can and try to get a bonus out of them.
You get a need a plus one on reflex and will saves, one each. So Valbar got a 28.
Usher got a 21.
Arjane's got a 24.
And Thalias got a 28. Mr. Perceptive.
So everybody but Uhtred, you see something strange a little farther in to this quote-unquote clearing. On the ground, you see what looks like footprints, and they look like they're like big metal boots, like someone wearing armor, and it looks like the person making the footprints was traveling from your left to the right and then kind of got to like maybe like 50 feet inward, and they were just kind of like moving parallel to the tree line, and then eventually they took a left and went deeper into the clearing.
So they were moving from left to right from our perspective and then turned and went away from us?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's not follow that guy.
And just before the footprints are too deep in for you to not be able to see them anymore, you see that they get kind of sloppy and like farther indented into the ground, and it almost looks like maybe they started running eventually, but it looks like there is maybe a little bit of a struggle first. That's all you can see from there.
As soon as you described this thing, I couldn't help but think of the fucking the vine creeper that killed like half our crew in Skull and Shackles.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was fun.
That was a hell of a combat.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty pretty crazy if there is one of those things here.
Right? Yeah, Valbar will point out the footprints. You know, there was someone heavy running through here. Seems they met some sort of resistance before continuing.
Yeah. No, I see it. And,
there is a possibility it could be that, Garamel, the paladin we should be searching for. It could be anyone wearing armor, I suppose. But among the three that are unaccounted for, he would be the one in armor.
Big sigh. Well, do you want to go in?
Not particularly, but we probably should.
Arginus, hey, come over here. I want you to look at something.
Sure.
Yeah, right over in there. Take a quick peek and see what you see there.
I'm not going to go any closer.
our noble former paladin, Thalias, like, hey, you, go spring that trap.
Sure could use a meat shield right now.
All right, when Arginus doesn't fall for it,
Wait, hold on.
Yep, go ahead.
Don't we just skip the trap altogether?
What trap?
I mean, what about a dimension door just to the other side?
I don't see why not.
Well, for what it's worth, you don't know how far in this pocket of vines goes. You can see about 50 feet in, but it could be another 50 feet. It could be a mile.
Is it, like, narrow so, like, you don't see a pathway?
It's imagine if there was a big clearing, but instead of open space, there is just filling the empty space is thousands of vines, strangler figs, and creepers all fused and wrapped around each other, creating almost like the visual effect of like a massive spider web.
Okay.
And then we see tracks going in.
Well, you don't see the tracks entering. Like, they're already in when they come into your line of sight, but it looks like they were about like 30 feet in, going from your left to your right, parallel to the tree line.
Okay, yep.
And then they turn and go away from you deeper into the clearing, where it looks like they get into something of a scuffle and perhaps like run away, or they like fight their way deeper in. You're not sure.
But there are tracks going in.
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, I'm going to note that I do have see invisibility and heightened awareness going. I don't know if that is going to matter, but I know it's been a while since we recorded and I wanted it to be noted.
Right. Heightened awareness is just giving you a
bonus to perception bonus. Right now, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Just more of noting the buffs that I currently have on myself.
Right.
I think Gertrude wants to pull out his Talil mask and put that on.
Oh.
And then okay. I think he's gonna activate his green sight.
I'm prodding Arginus, trying to get him to go in. You're like, hold on. Let me put this on, take a look.
All right, very cool. Do those have a set range of how far through vegetation you can see, or it's just all
60 vegetation? Feet.
60 feet.
Can freely focus her vision to see through plant matter for any distance up to 60 feet.
That definitely helps quite a lot. You can see deeper in where those footprints lead that eventually there seems to be a sort of established trail through the spiderweb of vines. It almost looks like someone like bushwhacked a trail through them.
Okay.
But with another 60 feet of vision, you cannot see the other side.
The other, like, I see the trail cutting through, but then I see more of the, like, web.
Yes.
Okay. It kind of looks like somebody cut a trail. It's hard to see in there, but yes, there's definitely a trail.
Well, a trail's better than nothing, right?
Indeed.
So,
can I make a knowledge nature?
For what?
Or maybe it's a knowledge arcana. Like, right now, these just appear to be, like, plants that grew really tight together, right?
Yes.
So, like, maybe a knowledge nature to see if maybe they're just playing possum, and the second someone touches them, they're going to make a, you know, like, attack?
That is something you might have discovered with the perception checks I made you roll. In addition to, like, spotting anything, you would have seen, like, if there was a creature, like, trying to look like something else. And as far as your perception checks are concerned, like, these plants aren't, plant creatures pretending to be benign plants, and you aren't aware of any, like, hiding creatures waiting to ambush you, at least from here.
I guess let's hack our way to that trail.
Very well. After you, hackers.
I think he's talking to you and me, Delias.
Yeah. Okay.
What about your staff? Would that work on opening up, like, a little trail to the one that Uhtred saw?
What staff?
Doesn't he have the staff of, like, move earth or something?
His shovel has the expeditious excavation spell in it.
No. He got the staff in that shed outside the blue guards.
You're talking about the thing that allowed us to make, like, a doorway through the hard material. Yeah.
That does require solid material, not...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, hack away.
Yeah, well, hold on. Did I break a weapon?
Your scythe.
You broke the scythe.
My scythe?
Yeah, that would have been very useful here, but...
Yeah, because that's like the whole thing about scythes. It's like, cut stuff down.
Shovels are just as good.
I don't know that they are. I explicitly remember saying that I always bludgeon, never cut.
Well, I guess it's going to be a lot on Uhtred then.
Oh, Uhtred's got a scimitar. Well, he's got two scimitars. He could toss one to Thalias.
No. If Thalias is dumb enough to take his shovel and bludgeon down this stuff instead of the blade side of it, that's on him.
Well, I don't think using the blade would be any help. Like,
it would be way more effective than the flat part of the shovel.
It would be way more effective than the flat part of the shovel, but still, I think, very ineffective in cutting your way through dense vegetation.
Alright, I got it. I figured it out. I said use my big brain. You cut, I shovel out of the way. You know, like, I actually move it out. Like, you're chopping, I'm clearing
the runway?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And our genus is in the back being a little baby. One fireball, that's all could have been taken care of, but no.
Well, that's what I'm gonna do.
What do you mean, that's what you're gonna do?
I mean, I'll do fireball. I need to cast fireball, though.
My fear was you might set the whole forest on fire and we're inside it.
Yeah,
didn't we establish very thoroughly that you can't do that with fireball?
Oh, yeah. I re-looked at that as an argument, and there was a couple of things in there too that was like melts metal as like quick or other things that was inside its descriptor that kind of made me question that judgment.
All right, well, now that Tom's the GM, I guess fireball burns the forest down.
I'd be okay.
That would
with
be
that.
Just our luck, wouldn't it? The Tom,
well,
burnt the
give
forest
us your brand there and then burn it to the ground.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it, but
actually, the brand probably would help, because that would just help you cut through, like, individual things rather than,
like
big explosion of fire
through the vine. Well, either way, Uhtred's going to start macheteing his way through.
All right. It takes you a minute, and you arrive at the trail that seems to have been bushwhacked by somebody else, perhaps the owners of the footprints.
Can we discern maybe a direction that it was going? Because I assume we came to it like a T.
For simplicity's sake, let's say that the footprints start from your left, go to your right, parallel to the tree line, and then as soon as they reach you, they dogleg to their left, and they go away from you, and then about 20 feet later, a trail is established going in that direction.
Okay.
This is the hardest puzzle yet.
You know what? I do have something that might help me scout out ahead a little bit, too. I'm going to turn into ectoplasmic goo.
Okay, I can see where that would be handy, maybe. Are you going to goo on ahead?
Yeah, I'm just going to gaseous form the entire thing and just fly around.
How long can you do that for?
I believe it's minutes per level.
I like how we have this whole conversation about how we're going to get through, and like, and then eventually our genius is just like, oh, you know what?
It's right on my...
Yeah, you can use a number of minutes per day equal to a sorcerer level, which, because he has a robe of Artean heritage, his sorcerer level is, I think, 12.
Okay. And our genus is going to scout ahead of the group as an ectoplasmic cloud.
That's what he said, or at least what it sounded like.
Yeah.
I was maybe don't do that until we get to this and get like more perception.
Well, Axel said we got to the trail on the other side.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get crazy out ahead, but like 30 feet ahead, trying to scout out information. Yeah.
All right. Just a reminder: while you're in that form, you cannot speak. So if you're 30 feet ahead of the group, and you spot danger, there's little that you can do to inform the group of that.
And you could fly back to us, and then become corporeal and warn us.
Okay. Does that sound good to everybody?
Yeah. It sounds half-baked, which is as good as we're going to get. Let's do it.
Well, it took us an entire episode to get to this half-baked idea, so yeah. I'm really looking forward to moving on.
As we're going down this path, I think Uhtred's going to use his sheath to apply Keen to Valo. This has, like, horror movie feel.
Right.
Like somebody behind Uhtred is just gonna get grabbed by the leg and like pulled away, and none of us know what's gonna happen to him.
Is the firebrand effect happening as well? I think that's rounds per level.
Yeah, that would not have happened before I did this. I wouldn't envision that our genus would do that for no reason.
Okay. So the marching order is our genus, 30 feet, Thalias, or Arginus, 30 feet, Uhtred, Thalias, Valbar. Correct?
Sounds right.
That's, yeah.
So you have all made it to the bushwhacked trail, and it seems to continue on for a ways into this large, unsettling, if aesthetically pleasing, stretch of forest. While it's easier to move around in this area, especially with the bushwhack trail, the extra density at the canopy actually creates dim light as you travel. You're walking through this area for about 5 minutes, and Arginus comes across a corpse on the ground at the bushwhack trail. It kind of meanders a little bit, as if the person bushwhacking was like honing in on something, and then it arrives at this corpse before continuing on in the general direction that it was going. The corpse is a male elf, appears crushed and withered, and it is anchored to the soil with hair-thin root fibers. What do you do?
I immediately rush back before the group gets to that point.
Okay.
And go into solid form.
Well, what is it, Arginus?
Well, up ahead is it looks like a dead elf. I'm not sure what the cause of death was, but yeah, we might want to tread a little bit lightly around here.
I'll add that, meanwhile, this bushwhack trail, like, you're still... the bushwhack trail is still overlaid with the path of those footprints, like those big, clompy metal footprints that you've been following.
Thalias, maybe you should use that wand of yours and ask the elf what happened to it.
Indeed, it could be Anthris.
Oh,
Thalias remembers that he's the one that has to do it.
All right. Well, let's not waste any time then.
I shuffle over to where the body is.
Wasting no time, you begin the 10-minute cast of Speak with Dead.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'll add that anyone kind of looking over this body can give me survival checks.
Can I do a heal check?
Yes, heal check is what I meant to say.
Also, in case it affects anything coming up, Uhtred is emitting a 10-foot radius of light around him.
Okay. Is that with, like, just a light spell?
Well, it's from his cape.
I think it shines like a torch.
Yes. So that would be, I think, 10 feet of normal light, and then 10 feet of a dim light, which I think it's one level above the ambient light, so I think you're looking at 20 feet of normal light. I could be wrong, but we'll go with that for now.
Now, this may surprise you, but I'm an incredible healer. 41 on my heal check.
Holy shit.
Minus one. Minus two.
Oh, Matt, come off of it. 39 on my heal check.
Oh, man, the DC was 41. you deduce that Yanthrus was killed with blunt force trauma. Yes, a combination of blunt force trauma and strangulation, as if he was constricted by something.
Oh, like these vines that are all around us?
This is a real puzzler. Could have been anything.
You're putting words in my mouth, and I don't appreciate it. In addition, you know that... You remember Ailuna said that Yanthrus was the official group leader and was actually the one who did the teleporting.
So it's his fault.
Does sound that way.
You can see he's got a lot of gear that's just kind of strewn here and there around his body. There's broken scroll cases. Contents are ruined by rain, and there's shattered potion vials. A lot of the gear is just ruined from the elements. But you do find a lesser... I'll just give it to you. A lesser Widen metamagic rod.
Ooh.
So 3 times per day, you can apply the Widen metamagic effect to a spell of 3rd level or lower. The Widen effect doubles a area of effect.
3rd level or lower, so not fireball.
Fireball is a 3rd level.
Oh,
so
perfect.
A fireball would be a 40-foot radius spread instead of a...
Which is enormous.
20-foot radius spread.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's truly massive. You better be real careful about where your allies are standing.
I'll take that.
Rika, would that function for haste?
No, because haste is not an area of effect.
Okay.
You target individual creatures.
I wasn't sure, but that's why I asked.
Friggin' haste.
Yep. Additionally, anyone detecting magic would see that Yanthrus's boots appear magical, and you can identify them as boots of striding and springing.
We've had those before, right?
I believe Thalias is currently wearing them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I look down at my boots. Look at their boots.
Huh. Look at that.
It's like a wicked witch of the East and West situation.
And I'm pretty sure Thalias took those off of Teoblith's body.
Okay. Yeah. I might have.
It's an elf thing.
Yeah, kind of is. For the record, these boots increase the wearer's base land speed by 10 feet. In addition to this striding ability, considered an enhancement bonus, these boots allow the wearer to make great leaps. They can jump with a +5 competence bonus on acrobatics checks. So as the movement speed bonus is an enhancement bonus, it does not stack with haste, but you would take the higher benefit from haste. So it just would be a smaller net increase to your base speed if you got haste.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like in your case, Thalias, like haste increases your speed from 30 to 40, essentially doubling your base of 20 rather than doubling the enhanced speed of 30 that you currently have.
Yep.
Actually, I was thinking about that because I don't know if wearing armor reduces your base speed. Like, your base speed is still 30, but then you lose 10 feet of movement from wearing armor. I feel like your base speed is still 30. So with haste, it would go up to 60 and then minus 10 to 50. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's the way it's supposed to work.
50 sounds like less than 60. I don't want to do that.
Well, 50 is greater than 40, which is what haste is then giving you. You do want to do
that.
I mean, it says all of a hasted creature's modes of movement increase by 30 feet to a maximum of twice the subject's normal speed using that form of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And like, his normal speed, like Thalias's normal walking speed is 20 feet because he's wearing armor. It doesn't say it's subject's base speed, it says it's normal speed.
Well, let's see what the armor page has to say.
Somebody better cast haste after this so it's all worth it.
It looks like Matt's correct, because it says, like, if you look at, like, the armor page on Pathfinder, it, like, gives you, like, what your speed is when you're wearing the armor. And then, like, below that, it breaks it down better. The number on this table is the character's speed while wearing the armor. So, I guess that just becomes your new base speed. Finally, you find a spell component pouch, which, in addition to the mundane components, contains granite powder and diamond dust worth 1,000 gold.
Ho! Yep, grab the diamond dust.
Well, it's like a mixture of granite powder and diamond dust, and it is worth 1,000 gold.
That's all right, we can sift out the granite.
And it is typically a component for... I can't think of the name of the spell.
Stone skin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uhtred's got that, I think.
Yep.
Requires granite and diamond dust worth 250 gold per casting.
So Uhtred can hang on to that. That's four castings of stone skin right there.
How much granite and diamond dust did you have before?
I don't know about granite, but diamond dust I had 1750 before that.
So... So it sounds like you can now cast Stone Skin up to four times, and if you want to cast it more times, you're going to have to get your hands on some granite eventually. Okay, so that's all of the usable loot that you find on Eonthras. Meanwhile, Thalias has been casting Speak with Dead, and after 10 minutes, the spell activates, and... Yanthras' eyes snap open.
All right. I look to my team and say, now remember, we gotta be very particular with these questions.
I mean, is this the guy that we want to talk to?
cut our genus off mid-sentence. I guess first, I do like a sidebar, you know, like he comes back to life, like, okay. Bring my team over to the side. I guess first we should ask, maybe... what happened here? Huh?
Yes, figuring out how he was killed would be beneficial. And he was the spellcaster of the group, the arcane spellcaster. So, me might have more insight as to why his teleport went awry.
Good thinking. I break the huddle for a second and then go over... what's his name?
Yanthras.
And I say, hello, Yanthras. I, just had a few questions for you. What killed you?
I was attacked by a group of viper vines. They wore me down and constricted the life out of me.
You guys would remember fighting, viper vines in...
the park in Yulispan.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't enjoy those.
They, one of them slapped the shit out of our genus with all those constrict attacks.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't mind that so much. It was the...
Seems to be the end of his answer.
Maybe we should also ask how far he came. Like, I don't know the distance that he walked from his original teleportation into here.
Okay, yeah. Yanthras, what happened with the teleport? What went wrong?
I suspect there was a new witch gate that interfered with my teleport spell. We departed from Volumus, intending to arrive at Hammerrock. I appeared here in this vine-covered stretch of vegetation alone. I did not know where my companions were when I became aware of the threat of the viper vines.
And what about the forest? What did you see? Anything dangerous? Besides what killed you, obviously.
If there were more dangers to this forest, I did not live long enough to see them.
What about where the exit is? Right, where the... I mean, he just... Oh, whoa. Was he tracking something? That's not a question to him. But just generally to the group. Do we know what he was actually doing?
The same thing we are. Trying to find what, like, the reason why Tarbaphon would attack Hammerrock, since it didn't seem to be much of a threat or strategic victory.
Yeah. I meant in the, like, his tracks and, like, the leading up to where he's now.
I may have just done a poor job of explaining this, but the trail that you've been following has been left by a set of footprints that do not match Yandhras's.
Right.
He seems to be wearing, like, some, you know, like...
Some boots that look really familiar.
Some loafers.
Springing and striding.
Yes, boots of striding and springing that do not match the... Like, the soles of those do not match the footprints that you've been following.
Right.
Somebody else bushwhacked this trail, came across... Well, I guess it's not clear if they came across the body or if they just... passed through, and then the body, and then Yonthers died here later anyway.
Yes, that's what I'm not clear about.
Okay.
So that might be another question.
Question.
Yeah. You ask him.
You've
if,
asked three questions so far, I believe.
We get what, five?
Yes.
Just as the parameters of the spell, do they know things that happened after they died?
No.
Okay. So asking him who came across his body is not going to work.
Correct. If that person came across their body while they were still, like, bleeding out or something, then they would know, but, you know, they know only what they knew in life.
Well, ask him, maybe ask him if he knows the whereabouts of any of his companions.
Alright, yeah, I take that directly from his mouth into my mouth, to that guy's ears.
When I became aware of the danger of the viper vines, while I fled from them, I called out for help, and before I was struck down, I could hear the voice of Garamel calling out to me. He seemed to be searching for me, but I perished before he could find me.
Maybe. Well, definitely.
What direction was Garamel's voice coming from? Maybe we can track him from there. Because if it's coming from the direction that we just came from, maybe we're following Garamel's tracks right now.
Well, that's the assumption, is we've been following Garamel's tracks.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, because we've been following footprints that seem to be made from, like, heavy armored boots, and Yonthras is not wearing armor. He's a sorcerer. So that was kind of my assumption before, is that when we saw those heavy footprints, those seem to be... I was assuming they are Garamel's tracks. So, presumably, yes. Thinking back, he was probably going through this section, heard Yonthras calling for help, and that was where that, like, left turn that we saw him make, and that was when he started working his way this way to try and find Yonthras, but got there too late.
That all makes way more sense than anything I've come up with up until this point.
So you guys have one question remaining. Now, there's... I don't want to, like, just give this to you, because it was already explained to you, and I don't want to, like, just... be like, well, if they think to ask it, then they do. If they don't, then they don't. Like, but I also don't want to just, like, give it to you for free, because, like, it was an important piece of information. So I'll just tell you that there was something that Aeluna told you before you left, that certain members of her group knew about, that would be pertinent information for you to have as well. And if that doesn't jog anyone's memory, I will also take intelligence checks to remember.
Well, count me out.
There's no penalty for failing.
Yeah.
Just the embarrassment.
I'm looking through my notes, but I don't... Like, I have info on the four people that she sent, but not the whatever Alex is talking about here. Just that she sent a team ahead, who had lost contact with them a week ago.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I rolled a 13.
Okay.
I got an 11. Arginus, what did you get?
I don't want to talk about it.
Valbar got a 19.
Arginus was busy trying to untangle his yo-yo while Iluna was breaking all that down for everybody.
Yep.
All right, Valbar, clearly the smartest man in the room, remembers that Iluna mentioned that Hammer Rock has several defensive features to it that are meant to repel invaders, and that the commander of Hammer Rock, Captain Somar Trant, can activate those defenses at any point remotely. She has no way of knowing if those defenses are active or not, but knows that if they are active, they would hinder your approach. She was told by two of the members of her group that they knew of the defenses and knew how to deactivate them. Yonthris the elf, who's in front of you, dead, and Quenlin, a halfling scout, both apparently knew how to deactivate these defenses.
So, yeah, Valbar's kind of memory, like, inspiration strikes him suddenly, and he goes, "Oh, we have one question remaining, yes?"
"Yes." Spell ends. It's never not funny.
Thalias, ask him how to bypass Hammer Rock's defenses.
And how do we bypass Hammer Rock's defenses?
There are several magical traps surrounding Hammer Rock. Assuming the defenses have been activated, each trap requires a specific phrase uttered within 100 feet of Hammer Rock's walls to disable them. Yonthris then recites to you three different complicated phrases, each one requiring 5 rounds of concentration that pertain to a different magical ward. Once you're within 100 feet of Hammer Rock, you need to utter these phrases. Otherwise, once you close in closer than that, bad things will happen.
I turn them into a song so I can remember them.
That works. And once Yonthris finishes reciting the final phrase, his eyes close and the spell ends.
Well, I guess there's only one thing left to do.
Make perception checks.
That wasn't what I was going to say.
Oh, well, I'd just give it a go anyway.
Okay.
All right, that's a 38 for Valbar.
26 for Uhtred.
A 26 for Arginus.
And 32 for Thalias. Wait, Matt, don't correct me. 30.
All right. Very impressive perception checks. Only a few moments pass after the Speak with Dead spell ends before you all become aware that you are not alone. There will be no surprise round as you've all passed your perception checks as 3 viper vines all come emerging out from within the vegetation. Everybody roll initiative next week on the Inspired Incompetence podcast. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.